It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff Calkins is columnist of the Daily Memphian, also hosts the Jeff Calkins Show, 9 to 11 every single weekday right here at 92.9 FM ESPN on X at Jeff_Calkins. And he gets a gold star from the Gabe Kuhn Show today because the situation that we discussed on Tuesday is exactly what the Grizzlies did. And you hit the nail on the head there, Jeff. How are you?
I think I called him future superstar Cedric Coward is what I believe I called him when I was urging two firsts to move up to get him. So, yeah, listen, I'm wrong about a lot of things, and who knows how it'll work out. But I was not only was I happy they did what they did. Here's what actually surprised me is because when you were talking about this, and honestly, for the last week to 10 days, it felt like the majority of Grizzly fans were going to be dissatisfied unless the draft ended with a veteran player coming to the Grizzlies and right. Not making the pick, right? And instead, not only did they spend their first pick on a rookie, they spent a future pick on to move up and get a more highly touted rookie. And at least according to the Jeff Calkins Show poll, 91%.
I saw that. 91% were very happy with the move.
Now some of that is this is what happens in a draft. You talk yourself into anything, right? But even apart from that, like I still think I think it also helped that generally people were the commentators were overwhelmingly positive about it, and then you got the ridiculous Henry Abbott story saying that he, unlike Cooper Flagg, has MVP potential, you know? So, I mean, I think that also helped push it to 92%. It makes me a little nervous, honestly, that everyone likes it so much, but I was pleased what they did. And I was more pleased, honestly, with the logic, which was my logic, which was an incremental improvement from a mediocre plus player isn't really going to get this team to where it needs. What they need is to, in fact, swing bigger. That's what I thought, and literally that's what Zach Kleiman said last night.
Yeah, are we sure if it's Cedric Coward or Colin Coward? I mean, I think we still have some confusion there. Malika Andrews, that was an all-time gaffe last night. That was bad.
It was a natural gaffe. I thought it was a kind of a natural gaffe. Yeah. Someone who has committed my own share of gaffes.
Sure, yeah, I don't want to throw stones in glass houses. I get it.
Right.
Yeah,
I talk too much. I say too many words to criticize someone for screwing up words because I do it all the time. But yeah, I mean it was a natural gaffe, but it wasn't.
Yeah, and
it maybe was one you should wear. You should even be wary of. You know, you should know in advance. Now, okay, don't say Colin Coward. Don't say Colin Coward. Don't say Colin Coward.
Yeah, I don't mean to be this guy again. Stones in glass houses. I get all that. Uh-huh. But the ESPN and ABC broadcast for ESPN last night.
People hated him.
I could listen. I mean, here's my problem.
Uh
Kevin Negandhi, I like Kevin Negandhi. You know, Bob Myers, you know, take it or leave it. For you to have ABC, your nationally televised NBA draft product, and have Stephen A. Smith, Bob Myers, and Kevin Negandhi, it's just like I have a question about that. Did you think that that was like the best you could do? Or were you sort of, I don't want to think this, but were you purposefully just writing it in? I didn't get that at all. Like, I watched both broadcasts last night, and I just decided wherever Jay Billis was where I was going to be, and ultimately he was on the normal ESPN channel.
Yeah, I watched that one. I like Jay Billis as a college basketball analyst, actually, quite a lot. I don't love him as a draft analyst. I just think he likes everybody.
Right, but...
And I still like, you know, I'm scarred from hearing him talk about Hasheem Thabeet as such a great future.
Sure.
I literally have it framed in my mind. And so, but I really like Jay. I think he's a great, very good college basketball analyst. He's obviously deeply familiar with these guys. So I thought he was good. He's fine, solid.
You can have your complaints about Jay Billis and liking every prospect, but yeah. I don't know if there's much of a debate for the consumer out there that he is by far the best analyst for the NBA draft that they had going last night.
I think that's probably right. And they had Gavoni on ESPN, who was fine.
Right.
I get that everyone hated it all. I didn't watch the ABC one at all, really. I watched the ESPN one, and I thought the ESPN was just fine. You know, I thought, but I understand lots of people hated him. I thought I generally don't love the post-draft pick interviews. I think they tend to be pretty silly or whatever. But I thought she did a good job. I thought those were perfectly good. I don't know. Like, I wasn't as focused on the telecast one way or another last night. But I do acknowledge that everyone seems to have hated them both.
Yeah, I was one. I'll be the first to admit it. All right, now Cedric Coward, they gave up 16, a 2028 first round pick from the Orlando trade with Desmond Bane, and 2 second round picks for the opportunity to go get Cedric Coward. Is there any you know, hesitation with what they gave up? That's a little bit more than what it would take normally to move up five spots, right? Like that to me is clearly true. Do I personally have an issue with it? I'll tell you ahead of time, I don't. But what did you think about the package they put together to move up five spots?
Yes. Is it in terms of just pure asset management, is it the most efficient use of assets? Probably not, right? So much depends, I hate to say this, on getting it right. And it, one of the things I've thought about is with the NFL draft, I think there's much more emphasis on draft value because there you can hit all over the draft, right?
Yeah.
Like, and you and lots of players play. You know, lots of players play in the first round, they play in the second round,
sure,
the third round.
Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant. He makes $53 million a year now.
Right. You've got to field a team with 24 starters or whatever you want to come to. What special teams, you know, you have a deep team with lots of players. And so here in the NBA, it really does strike me. There's such a low hit percentage. And what really matters is that you just find guys that can play because so many really can't, that it really comes down to, I hate to say it, but you know, you're whether you've correctly analyzed the player, like, you look at and I know Zaire Williams is at this point just sort of the epitome of every mistake they've ever made, sort of. But, like, there, if they had stayed put, they would have gotten Trey Murphy III. Like, the problem wasn't what they paid for Zaire. It was their analysis of Zaire, right? It was they sized him up as a player. If you look at the draft and the way it went, obviously Portland was there and was willing to trade out because they were going to, you know, take this massive Chinese center who they knew were going to be there at 16, right?
Yeah.
They knew, so they could trade down. So that was the one you had to go get. You had to go up ahead of San Antonio and Oklahoma City because you worried that they would pick Coward. And I think we did all appropriately analyze that by the time they got to 16, and this is how the draft played out, nobody who you had high on your Grizzlies board was there.
Correct.
Right? Like the, who if they had stayed at 16, who would you have urged them to take? Like, there was no one there, at least according to, you know, whatever, what we thought they might need or like. And so I don't care about second-round picks, even though they've been good at using second-round picks. You can buy second-round picks. And so I don't care about that. And I just assumed that going up would cost you a first-rounder. It's the 28 Orlando first-rounder. It's really – you never know. It would be – things would have to go pretty damn badly in Orlando for that, yes, to be a lottery pick. It is an unprotected pick, but things would have to go pretty badly. So, I mean, in the end, it just comes down to just like the Zaire deal. Did they get it right on the player? I don't really care what they paid for it, really. I think they had to pay it. That was the price to go up. And had they stayed put, there would have been almost no one, it seems like, for them to take. And so that, you know, they deemed that he was worth the risk. But he is a risk, of course. He's a risk because, yeah, A, every draft pick is a risk. And then B, on top of that, he played six games as a senior. And before then, he was at Eastern Washington. So there's a lot of things to like, but I do think it is risky. I think, again, it's based on their, what I believe to be correct analysis of the team, is that they are not, you know, one Herb Jones away from beating Oklahoma City. And if the goal is to beat Oklahoma City, you need to get a player with higher upside. And he does have a there's a lower floor than for P.J. Washington or for Herb Jones, but there is a higher upside, and that's what they went with. The other interesting thing that Zach Kleiman said, and then I'll wrap this up, is that he said other people, you know, throw out names, and then he went on to say that we think he has a higher upside than these names that people throw out, who, by the way, may or may not be available. And that's the other point. Like, we conjure up these names as if you can just go get them because you think they might be on the market. But there's no evidence they actually are on the market.
Right.
You know, so that's the other part of this that they have to deal with.
Yeah, and you brought up sort of the downsides maybe to Cedric Howard. The level of competition is one, and then the injury. We've talked about the good things. Upside defensively, 38% lifetime shooter from three, 72% from two, which is insane. He's got some decent shot creation. He can pass. All of those good things. But the focus to me, by some Grizzlies fans, I'm not going to say all Grizzlies fans, on like where they're at and what they're going to look like next year. I think, and I know what Zach Kleiman said about unintentionally getting younger and, you know, ultimately wanting a championship back in the day. I think that there's this unrealistic expectation for how you build a championship roster, right? Like, it rarely goes the direction that the Thunder took. You trade for SGA, you draft Chet, you draft Jalen Williams, here you are competing at the highest level and winning a championship. There are peaks and valleys to this thing. There are, you know, roster resets that happen more often than not to get to that championship contending window. And I feel like there's been sort of this push. And I understand where Grizzlies fans want to see a playoff series win. I understand where Grizzlies fans realize, okay, they really have regressed since 2022. I get all of that. But in the end of the day, the idea of just consistently being on this upward trajectory until you win a championship, that's a farce. That doesn't happen very often.
Oh, yeah. I think Zach Kleiman once said progress isn't linear, and I think that's right. I mean, if you want to criticize them, I think it's fair to criticize them for saying, listen, there was a window when you had these three players on reasonable contracts,
sure,
and they did a poor job of putting the right players around them. They just did. You know, they tried through the draft and they tried through trades and they were unsuccessful. And I think that is true. And I think that's a fair criticism. But so then where do you go? And what I admire about them is they didn't just stubbornly say, okay, we're just going to stick to it. You know, what they said was, huh, this didn't work. And now we got to pay these guys more money, these three players more money. And we have to be honest with ourselves that we're the trajectory we were on didn't work. And so we're going to do a, not a rebuild, but a reset, you know, on, we're going to take a little bit of a step sideways, maybe a slight step back and getting rid of Dez. And we're going to rebuild around these two a different way. And it's going to be, it's going to be with some younger players but it's going to be with KCP. Like, that's a guy who Zach said last night that's an important part of this. So it's not all with younger players, but they just sort of realized, okay, this foray didn't work. And so now we're going to have to try another way. And that's what they're doing. And I think it required a very clear-eyed assessment and an honest assessment.
Correct.
Of where they were. And where they were is good team, but not close to being the team that they wanted to be. So adding one more little piece wasn't going to get them there. So they had to do something a little more, you know, take a bigger swing.
Yep, for sure. And I think there needs to be, and I think most people acknowledge this, needs to be an acknowledgement if you haven't already acknowledged it. This team only is going to go as far as what Ja Morant's games played category tells you, right? He's got to be on the court for more than 50 games. Now, in general, with the NBA draft last night, what stuck out to you? I have a couple that I want to run by you. Con Knipple and his brothers. Clearly, his parents got and stayed busy. Five boys, too. Insane. And I did a deep dive on that, and this is one of my favorite things. And we need to be careful with this, right? But the letter K, it means a lot to them. Con, Cager, Kinston, Cash, and Kid are the five boys. Let's see. We had the Suns. The Suns, that was really fun last night. Trade for Mark Williams just minutes before they took Kaman Malawak, the center out of Duke. Young Hanson at 16 of the Blazers. You already covered that, right? And it was a huge reach. But I love seeing him come out of the crowd. I mean, he's literally just sitting in the front row. I mean, at that point, I would say, Adam Silver, just let him sit at a damn table in the green room, please. Just let him down there. I mean, it didn't seem like that much. He had to pay his way in all likelihood, and sit in the crowd so he could get drafted by the Blazers. But what stuck out to you last night? What was fun?
Gravis Vasquez did that, by the way. When the Grizzlies drafted Gravis Vasquez once upon a time, he came out of the crowd. So I admired that. I mean, that's a picture. I think the hats are stupid. That's the honest. Every year it sticks out. It's so stupid. It is just so stupid when everybody knows that he's not going to the Grizzlies, to have him putting on the Grizzlies hat. It's just the stupidest thing ever. And I will never understand why they can't fix it. So that is my complaint every year, but it continues to be my complaint this year. Like, there's no other draft where this will happen. And, the NHL draft is tomorrow night, and when my Sabres make a bad pick, which they'll inevitably do, they'll trade a pick for a mediocre player, they will, the person's going to put on a Sabres hat. It's just the dumbest thing in the world. So that's the first thing that stuck out. Obviously, everyone has commented on New Orleans and the trade.
Sure.
Trading an unprotected pick to go up to get Derek Queen was kind of totally mystifying. Literally, they're giving Atlanta the pick that is the better pick between their pick and Milwaukee's pick, like, to go up 10 spots. So that's just...
To get an undersized, non-shooting center. That's great.
Out of shape.
Yeah, supposedly out of shape.
He looked large.
Here's the thing. I got to be honest. I like Derek Queen, but that is about as bad of a landing spot as he could have gotten. I mean, that is horrible. And I'll talk about that in a bit, just to let the listeners out there know what I'm going to talk about next.
Yeah. So, one of my big takeaways was, if you take the first three players, who I think we were going to know in some order, right? And then you look at the next seven, okay? And then stop, and then look at the next seven. I have no conviction that the first seven, that 4 through 11 or 4 through 10, are going to be better than the next seven. In fact, like, I think a lot of those guys are going to be complete busts. They're non-athletic shooters, or they're deeply flawed defensively, or they're – whereas once you get to the teens – you had three picks, in Oklahoma City and San Antonio and in Memphis that all looked like, you know, maybe they weren't all plant, but like, I don't know. I kind of have greater faith in those three than some of the picks that are a lot of the picks that are 4 through 10.
And you know what just is so crazy? Like in the NFL draft, like their evaluations and with the way they draft, sometimes you can't tell that big of a difference. Obviously, there's a couple of organizations that do it better. The Eagles do it well. The Chiefs do it well. That's why they're so good. That's why they're in the Super Bowl last year. I think the difference between teams that know what they're doing in the NBA versus who doesn't know what they're doing is so obvious on draft night. It is more obvious than any other draft you'll watch. It's insane. I mean, I watched, obviously you talk about the Pelicans. I think that was ridiculous. The Suns, ridiculous. The Nets, everyone and their mother said, okay, we're going to have a bunch of movement. And I think we did have a bunch of movement in the first round with picks being swapped and all that. But they said, at the very least, the reason you need to look out for movement is the Nets have 5 picks. Well, they didn't move a single pick. They drafted all 5. And I don't even think they drafted very well in the grand scheme of things. They got three guards, one 7-footer that cosplays as a guard in Danny Wolf, and then a center. I mean, what was that? But I feel like the difference between who knows what they're doing and who doesn't know what they're doing is never bigger than when we get to night one of the NBA draft.
Yeah, Brooklyn. I mean, I was wrong about that. No one thought they would pick all 5, and they picked a lot of projects. I think, you know, for me, it was watching. Some of it's know what they're doing. Some of it also just feels like, my God, how do they get this lucky every year? And so to see Carter Bryant go to the Spurs and to see Thomas Sorber
go to the Thunder
to Oklahoma City, it reminded me of watching, like, pick whatever year, whatever player drops to the Ravens or the Eagles. It's exactly watching players, really good players, drop to the Eagles and the Ravens every damn year in the draft. And I'm like, come on, man. Really? It felt very similar to me.
Yeah.
I'm watching that happen. I did. Like, I mean, the cliche is, oh, isn't it great for these families and a dream come true and whatever. And that's a cliche. I will say, like, when Malawak is weeping up there, like, that, if that doesn't move you, something's wrong with you.
Did,
like,
you get moved by Danny Wolf's brother, who they kept on the camera for no less than a minute and a half, just booger crying over there? Poor guy. Like, take the camera off him. He's going to be a meme for life now.
Yeah. So, I thought there was enough wheeling and dealing that it was, I thought, a very interesting draft. And the other thing is, I really do like that it's 2 nights now, because you get to go to sleep at a decent hour. You know, normally you have to decide, are you going to stay up to see what Zach Kleiman says about this, because he's not going to talk till after the second round is over. And then we got another night of, you know, reasonable entertainment tonight. Obviously won't be as fascinating, but whatever. I think when you look and say, listen, last year it was Jalen Wells and Camp Spencer, and those are real guys who the Grizzlies, I think they want both to be rotation players next year, certainly Jalen Wells. You think, well, maybe I won't discount tonight either. Maybe I'll pay attention to what they're going to do in the second round.
Yep, we'll see. But, Jeff, I appreciate it.
Sure,
thanks for joining.
Again.
He is Jeff Calkins, at Jeff_Calkins on X, Daily Memphian columnist, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show, 9 to 11 every single weekday right here at 92.9 FM ESPN. He's brought to you by the Summer of 1,000 Engagement Sale. At Robert Irwin Jewelers, you can save 40% off during the Robert Irwin Jewelers Summer of 1,000 Engagement Sale. And plus, for a limited time, you can get a free Yeti Tundra cooler with your purchase. Proposals need ice, and Robert Irwin Jewelers is delivering it in more ways than one. If you spend $24.99 or more, you can get a free Yeti Tundra cooler, and you always have peace of mind with a meant-to-be guarantee. You can buy your loose diamond or custom-made engagement ring at RIJ, and you have 365 days, a full calendar year, to return it, and they give you a refund, no questions asked. And you'll have choices, large collection and selection of natural and lab-grown diamonds, and you're always going to be able to save money. That's great, because they have the lowest prices in the Mid-South. And if you're already married or have an engagement ring and you want to upgrade, you've moved up in the world and you want to upgrade, make sure that you go to Robert Irwin Jewelers now during the Summer of 1,000 Engagement Sale. 40% off with a purchase of $24.99 or more, and you get a free Yeti Tundra cooler. Propose now and pay later with financing, like the chance to take up to 60 months to pay. So get over to Robert Irwin Jewelers. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, Robert Irwin Jewelers. Visit any one of their 5 locations or shop online at rijewelers.com. Now, everybody's doing their winners and losers today, but I just want to focus on the losers. There's 2 main losers that I have to discuss coming up next. That would be the Phoenix Suns, and then, of course, everyone's talking about it, but the New Orleans Pelicans. That will be on the other side right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. The NBA draft brings out a lot of good and bad in NBA basketball teams and franchises. And we saw a lot of good. I thought the Grizzlies going up to get Cedric Cower, very good. When you look at what the Spurs did last night, Dylan Harper as a point guard, and then later you get Carter Bryant. I mean, the fact that they got away with that type of haul was great. I thought the Oklahoma City Thunder, not surprising that Sam Presti did well, but Thomas Sorber as a center to give them a little more depth in their front court, I thought that was phenomenal. But there were 2 teams in particular that just stuck out in the opposite way. And I'm going to start with the least of the two. The Phoenix Suns, they drafted Duke center Kaman Malawach at number 10. Now, I look at Kaman Malawach, and you know what? Not a bad pick. They needed centers. They got a center. And I thought he was good at Duke. He's going to be a little bit more developmental than normal guys that are picked at number 10, but that's okay. That's okay. If he turns into the player that you expect him to be, you'll be fine. But they also, minutes before they made that pick, traded for Hornets center Mark Williams, who famously, of course, at the trade deadline was supposed to go to the Lakers, but failed a physical. They used pick number 29 in this year's draft. And, of course, they used a 2029 first-round pick. So 2 first-round picks for Mark Williams. Sidebar to the Mark Williams trade, the Suns last year traded for Mark Williams' backup. Yes, they did that from the Charlotte Hornets, Nick Richards. They did that last year. By the way, Grizzlies, keep an eye on that. Second-round pick, John Conjar for Nick Richards for a little bit of depth. I think I could deal with that.
Money's tricky. The money's
whatever,
tricky.
But I just keep an eye on it. But, yeah, he's still on the roster. Nick Richards is. He's still on the roster. So is Mark Williams. So, yes, you've counted it. Kaman Malawach, Mark Williams, Nick Richards. They have 3 centers. That's not a mistake. And there's a 4th as well, but we'll get to that in a second. I did work out the final details for the 2 deals combined to get the Charlotte Hornets centers from 2024. It ended up being that it was Josh Okogie, number 29, a 2029 first rounder and 3 seconds for the 2024 Charlotte Hornets centers and Mark Williams and Nick Richards. Just got a kick out of that. But the Suns have an impressive roster build. Impressively bad, but it's impressive nonetheless. As it stands today, they have 7 shooting guards and 4 centers, if you include Bol Bol. And they're all on the active roster under contract. By the way, if you don't know about NBA rosters, there's only 15 guys that you're allowed to have roster spots. So 11 of those are taken up by 7 shooting guards and 4 centers. And what makes it more insane, with those 7 shooting guards and 4 centers all on the active roster, they're $43 million into the luxury tax and $15 million over the second apron of the luxury tax, meaning they could have very oppressive things handed down to them and real penalties handed down to them relatively soon if they go into the season with this. I'm at a loss.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears, and I wasn't sure if I was crying because
I hadn't been kissed in a really long time, or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Lost for words, Connor. Now, obviously, I think they can move some of these guys, and they could make some trades, potentially to make something happen. But when they traded Kevin Durant, I thought the idea was they would eventually get under the second apron, lighten the luxury tax load, make some things happen. They traded Kevin Durant and went further into the luxury tax. I can't even begin to explain how bad Ishbia is at this, the new owner, Matt Ishbia. I can't even wrap my head around how bad he is at managing this Suns franchise. So that was one. But the other one, and much worse one, the Hawks traded the number 13 pick to the New Orleans Pelicans last night for the number 23 pick, which turned into Georgia forward and center Asa Newell, and an unprotected 2026 first-round pick, which would be the most favorable of New Orleans and Milwaukee's picks. And New Orleans probably not going to be good. But with the 13th pick that they acquired, the New Orleans Pelicans drafted Derek Queen. And let me start by lightening the load, okay? I like Derek Queen. Really smart basketball player, super offensively inclined at about 6'9", played center, led Maryland to a lot of wins, some really big-time wins, had that buzzer beater in the tournament. He's the most skilled big in the draft, in my opinion, when it comes to creating on offense and making things happen for his team. But this is why we always talk about fit in any given situation that these guys get dropped into. The Pelicans won 21 games last year. Why did they win 21 games, you ask? Well, injuries were a big part of it, but also they aren't a well-constructed team. Never mind that going into next year, they don't have Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum anymore. Both those guys were 20-point-per-game scorers. Now, their bet with getting Derek Queen at number 13 last night, they're betting on Zion Williamson, a point forward with a minus three ball. They're pairing him with a point center and Derek Queen with a minus three ball. And they're two guys that operate on the same area of the floor. And this has been an ongoing issue with that organization for a while. They bring in talent. Like, they have some names that they've brought in, but they try to bring in a running mate for Zion and it doesn't work. This one's even worse than the one that they tried before in Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson. That didn't fit. But this is their next effort, and I'm telling you right now, it's the same problem. It will not fit. It doesn't make sense. One of the two will inevitably play more to their weaknesses because offensively they operate in, say it with me, the same exact areas of the floor. And they gave up an unprotected first rounder next year to do that. They immediately, because the Pelicans pick is going to be great because they're going to stink next year. They're going to be the bottom of the West. They immediately put the Hawks in the AJ DiBianca sweepstakes. There's a reason, and I'm so glad we said this at the beginning of the week, Connor. There's a reason that we told you out there the other day that the Pelicans can be taken advantage of, because they can. And moves like this prove it. And I do want to say, on the flip side of this, really good on the Hawks. They've had a good offseason, man. Pretty impressive what they've been able to do. They've picked their spots and they've taken advantage. They had to swing on Kristaps Porzingis in the Celtics roster dump. So maybe they have a five and a guy that they could start if he becomes, 90% of what he once was. And now they get a shot at another good prospect and a very, very good 2026 draft. And all it cost them was moving down 10 spots in the 2025 NBA draft. Did I sum that up well enough?
I got no doubt.
Absolutely insane what the Pelicans did last night.
I can't believe they traded the unprotected next year's pick. That's why. It's just insane.
Pair a point center that can't shoot a three with a point forward who can't shoot a three.
It is...
What are we?
Both of those teams are a lesson in how bad leadership can lead you to absolute hell in the NBA.
You know, and people have a problem with the Grizzlies using two extra second-round picks to move up to get Cedric Coward last night. And you look at these two and you're like, okay, things could be much, much worse.
And it's not really, you know, the picks that the Suns and the Pelicans made are good players, really good players that could turn into something in the NBA. It's more about all the moves that they made around them and how the rosters are constructed that don't make a ton of sense in the world. You know, I think that the Pelicans have good players, but it's an odd fit with how they all fit together. Same thing for the Suns. You have good players, but you also have four centers now for no real reason. Dylan Brooks is going to be your power forward. You've got Devin Booker and Jalen Green, and then the corpse of Bradley Beal. It's the weirdest team building I've seen in a long time. And it's just because sometimes you can meddle a little bit too much as an owner, and you probably shouldn't be taking advice from Isaiah Thomas. When it's the Pelicans, all you got to say is Joe Dumars. That's really all you got to say. If you don't know about the history of Joe Dumars as a GM, just go look to see what happened to the Detroit Pistons.
Why did he get hired then? What are they doing?
When they hired Joe Dumars, everyone was like, what? Okay. I mean, Joe Dumars was seemingly really good for the NBA when he was
working
for them.
He killed the early 2000s Pistons and then the early 2010s Pistons.
Go look at his draft. Just go look at his draft moves from 2004 on with the Detroit Pistons and how many players he missed on. And I mean, how many players he took swings on that absolutely did not work. For some reason, I can't believe. Part of me wonders if he traded that pick and then realized it was unprotected, because it just makes no sense in the world. Doesn't make any sense.
This just in, we have some more Suns moves, by the way. Suns are trading numbers 52 and 59 to the Golden State Warriors for pick 41 tonight. I have no take on that.
They're going to draft Amari Williams?
They're going to get another center.
Five picks!
Hey, here's my guess. At 41, they're going to get a shooting guard or a center. That's what they're going to do with that pick. My gosh. Also, what'd you think of Ace Bailey to the Jazz at number 5? That was a surprise.
I think you got to take talent, and it's worth a swing. It's absolutely worth a swing.
He looked disheveled. I don't think he wants to go to Utah in the slightest.
Here's my take. Because honestly, Colin Murray Boyles did something last night too when he got drafted.
Well, but that I could view that a different way. Like, he said the F word, put his head down, but he could be saying, like, he's so overwhelmed by the moment, he just dropped the F bomb.
Sure, okay.
And I think that's how he explained it.
I'll give him that out. But ultimately, I do have a bit of an issue with these young players are making it to the NBA. It is an opportunity that 1%. Maybe even less than 1% of this population gets. You're going to be paid $1 million, millions of dollars to play basketball. Be happy wherever you go. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine.
You saw the stat.
And he's going to get the
Dylan
shots.
Harper. Did you see the stat about Dylan Harper? Dylan Harper on his first contract is going to make more than his dad, Ron, ever made in his career. $35 million to $59 million.
I don't really want to hear complaints from a guy until you've proven something in the league.
I hear you.
You haven't earned it yet.
I hear
you. You should be happy that you're playing in the NBA and making millions of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't want to hear complaints from anybody out there when you have a bad gym, because you can go work out at LA Fitness.
You're the best.
You can work out at LA Fitness. Right now, they have a free 3-day trial going on, and you can go visit LAFitness.com to take advantage of that. But LA Fitness has a new lift room at all of their 7 locations in the Memphis area. There's always going to be one close to home or close to work. But on top of the new lift rooms, they have saunas, they have pools, they have all of the extra amenities you need. They even have babysitting. That's $10 a month per child. If you paid for childcare, you know that is a good deal. You can join now for $0 down and $24.99 per month. And note there, $24.99 per month is for one single club. If you want to go to all clubs, it's $29.99 per month. But join now for $24.99 per month, $59 annual to access any single club in the Memphis area. Membership auto-renews and requires first and last month's dues at joining. Additional terms and conditions apply. Now, small talk is on the way, and I want to talk about the Knicks coaching search. We have another update there, and we'll get to that next right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. And small talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, we have a Knicks coaching search update. It's obviously been centered on Mike Brown, the former coach of the Sacramento Kings, and Taylor Jenkins, former coach of the Grizzlies. But on top of that, yesterday, they reached out to Pelicans assistant coach James Borrego to conduct an interview. Now, James Borrego worked under Greg Popovich from 2015 to 2018. He comes from his coaching tree. He was the head coach of the Hornets from 2018 to 2022. And honestly, considering the way that franchise is, he did a pretty passable job. Before he got fired in 2022, he was 43-39. Regardless, I think we've gotten to the point with the Knicks coaching search where the Knicks are officially in that moment of acceptance. They've accepted that star coach that they wanted. It ain't walking through that door. And for a moment, bear with me. I have an analogy. That's what I wanted to do here. I have an analogy for you. Imagine the Knicks as that newly divorced guy at age 50, right? Trying to get back into the club scene with all those young women around. That's what they were doing in the week following the firing of Tom Thibodeau. They wanted that hot young coach or that hot coach that they thought could get them over the top, get them through the Eastern Conference Finals into the NBA Finals. They reached out to Ime Udoka.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego sets play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
With the Rockets, Chris Finch with the Timberwolves, Jason Kidd with the Mavs, Quinn Snyder with the Hawks, Billy Donovan with the Chicago Bulls. But now they're back in their element. They realized that that club scene wasn't going to work for them, so their daughter set them up a dating profile, and now they're in the process of finding compatibility, right? They're in the process of finding a woman that's more age suitable, a woman that has more in common with them, and more importantly, probably most importantly, a woman that's more likely to be interested in them. Is that a fair analogy to describe this Knicks coaching search, Connor? Do you like it? Do you hate it? Should I workshop it a little bit more?
Makes sense.
Okay.
I get what you're saying.
So you're on board with it?
I'm on board with it.
You usually hate my analogies.
I don't think that's true.
I think it's true. It only matters what I think is true, Connor.
I feel like I usually like them.
You usually hate my analogies. You like this one. We'll just leave it at that. But we have more NBA draft to talk about. We only have a half hour left in the show before we pass you off to round number 2 of the NBA draft right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. But Chip Williams Jr. joins to discuss Cedric Coward, the Grizzlies, and what could they do tonight with picks number 48 and 56. Stick around.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego sets play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.